This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, your host and editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, high-fiving me, Mr. Chris Budd, Mr. Phil Shaw.
Hey up.
Yep. Fives, high fives all around.
Yep. What time is it? 5 past Sheffield United? Yep.
Yep. I wanted to think of a load of five-isms, but I'm running short. I didn't really give it much thought, to be honest. I was hoping more for the headline. Sheffield United hit for six, but we didn't quite get there, did we? Thanks to Morgan Rogers. He's the new scapegoat, people. You heard it here first. Got to get in early on the scapegoats. Tee them up, set them up. This is the question. Has he failed the My Old Man Said Gary Gardner test?
Big chance on debut.
When you get a big chance on your debut, the goal is a gaping, and it's like, oh, he's not going to make it, is he? I mean, maybe he's been watching Zaniola in training and thought that's how you do it. Maybe that's why that happened. So at least we've given you the alpha intel on who's the next Villa scapegoat. Can we add anything to that in this show? Let's find out, shall we? How are you, gentlemen?
I'm all the better for that.
Yeah, I'm much better after that. I mean, after the Newcastle defeat, I was like an emo again. I was just walking around listening to depressing music and everything else.
Did you grow a fringe?
It's like, well, welcome to the Black
Period. My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
I'm lucky I dodged all of that emo. I think my sister, much younger sister, was into that. But anything else happening in your life? Hey, Phil, on my recommendation, you've started the Australian Traitors. You were watching Traitors the other week. I'd watched the first UK series, but then that was it. But then last week, I've kind of consumed it all. I'm an expert on it now. Yeah, the Aussie one is the best, I think. Just the second half of both the Aussie series, actually good TV, and none of them are like making phony Love Island relationships. They're all in for the kill. Phil's got nothing to say.
No, just I'm still thinking about who'd make the best Villa trader, but no, that's going to rumble on for a few weeks. We'll have to vote them out or seek them out.
Morgan Rogers with his finishing. Sorry, I'm being harsh on purpose. It's a joke. Supporting the show this week, it's a return of one of our favourite sponsors, Penfold Pensions. On My Old Man Said podcast, we do refuse gambling adverts and sponsorships because we prefer, rather than firms taking money off you, for supporters to actually think about their long-term investment and empowering yourselves financially rather than just siphoning all your money away. So one thing you should always have in your investment strategy is a pension as your most conservative play, and benefiting from compound interest and 25% government tax relief top-ups on any contributions. This helps your pension rise on top of the contributions you actually put in yourself. The good thing about Penfold is it takes like 5 minutes to set up. You just download the app from getpenfold.com/moms. And if you join up through that link, you will get a £50 top-up by using the code MOMS when you open your pension. It's the ease of use, flexibility, and also low rates. That has made it my personal pension plan. So do go to getpenfold.com/moms to check out all the details. As with all investments, your capital is at risk, but your money is FSCS protected. So check it out and take the sensible approach to looking after your long-term finances. Right, coming up in the show, we will get into this 5-0 result. It's one of those games, if Bailey started, then we had every chance of winning it. And if we actually played to our full potential, you should win it comfortably, because, come on, they're not very good. I don't know what was happening at Villa Park, people. I don't know why we lost our 100% record at home to the Blades.
It was the manager of the month curse.
Well, was it again? Did he have it then? Because that was going back.
Yeah, he got it in January, didn't he, for December?
Yeah, but the Sheffield United game was before.
Yeah, he was allowed a blip, though.
Yeah, that was a PGMOL blip against Sheffield United. I'm still blaming the referee for that one.
Agreed.
But we need Villa to step up and take care of business against these, let's say, awful sides. I mean, there's a lot of awful sides. There's a lot of inconsistent sides in this league. It's not all what it's cracked up to be, but there's certain teams you should be putting to the sword, especially after you've played the treble winners off the park in emphatic style. So something was not quite right at Villa, and at least we've suddenly got a response, and we needed a response because we've got two big-ish games coming up against Chelsea in the FA Cup and then Manchester United at home, which I'm marking down as, if you think Villa are taking Champions League
gotta win
seriously,
it.
They got to beat those red bastards at Villa Park. I only call them red bastards because I was going to say red devils, but I thought that just sounds too corny.
And that's part of their branding. And to be honest, we've got to keep on track for one more podcast with the Sean Bean themes that seems to have gone down well with people.
Well, I think we've done that before when we've played Sheffield United. It's not as if it's like a novel concept.
But it always goes down well.
I think people have forgotten about the last time we used it because you know what Sheffield United are like. They kind of pop in and out of the Premier League, so after being away for 3 seasons, you can just use the same material.
Yeah, a bit like Sean Bean, just popping in and out of films just to get killed off in different ways.
Well, yeah, actually, his track record for getting killed is pretty good in films. Right, Villa news. Villa find. Who fined them? Premier League, FA?
FA, I think.
It's not another FA fine.
Yeah.
I'm referring to the £5 million fine they got from the FA for not having supporter consultation on the badge and the 15-point deduction that's coming in our way. I was going to keep that under my hat. But no, Aston Villa have been fined £180,000 for the altercations when they played Brentford. Whose fault was that?
The refs.
Martinez.
Brentford got charged less, didn't they?
They did. I think it got 170 they got.
So we're blaming it on Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Because also in the game, Watkins was taking dog's abuse from a fan that he kept taunting.
And he gave it back to him, didn't he, when he scored?
Yeah, no, exactly.
180,000, that's what, about half a season of lower grounds income or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, we're just going to fuck us for FFP then, innit?
So those goons that think lower grounds and Terrace View are going to influence FFP in any way, I don't know.
Or get us competing with Man United.
Yeah, well, I don't know what kind of pipe dream you live in there. It's barely somebody's weekly wages, what we're getting, you know, annually. Injury update. We're still waiting for Torres, allegedly, next week. Potentially Manchester United, but I don't want to get our hopes up.
I reckon he might be on the bench for Man U.
Duran looks long-term. We're talking months. So step forward, Zaniola. He's going to replace him now. Oh, he's injured as well. But the good news is Ramsey's getting amongst it now. Hopefully he will get back up to speed. Luca Dean, nothing firm on him.
He was back training this week.
Oh, so we might see him.
He might be back in for next week's game. And Louise, of course, managed to play in the Sheffield game, having apparently been ill in the build-up to it. So he only played.
Right, so that's why he came off early.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, transfer news recap. We've kind of done this, but Morgan Rogers in. He's the main one that's going to feature this season. Linus Sosa in from Arsenal, used to be a baggie, loaned straight out to Plymouth. That's really a Kane Kessler sweetener after we got him back to feature in the matchday squad. Joe Gucci from Adelaide United. He's one that hopefully is going to be a a bit of a diamond.
Hopefully.
This is
hopefully
who I wanted. I wanted a younger keeper who was decent to be groomed by Martinez. So when the day comes, we would have it covered.
Yeah, also, teach him the ways.
Obviously, the right back who stayed at Red Star Belgrade. Troy off to Villarreal, Dendonca out the door to Napoli on loan. And then Tommy O'Reilly and Josh Feeney were both sent on loan to Emery's club, Real Union, which he has ownership in. And Philip Marshall went off to MK Dons on loan.
What a move that is for Tommy O'Reilly and Josh Feeney. It's like a lad's holiday, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant, yeah. Oh, I saw the clips.
It's like going on summer camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like perfect.
They'll get lost. They'll disappear in like Benidorm or something. Never to be seen
meanwhile,
again.
Meanwhile, there was a fan advisory board meeting, but it was only over Zoom. Mainly, it was about an informal one. It was mainly the new transport guy who's looking after all the kind of logistics and the improving of the transport situation. He seems a sharp guy, so hopefully he will get things started. There should be some kind of news in the autumn in terms of upgrading Aston and Witton train station. Push to get more bike racks in. I think you can go now, put your bike in the Academy building, which has security there as well, although it's a bit far from the ground, isn't it? General chats about potential transport improvements, but you know, you have these, we've been having these overall, you know, the last few years. There's money also from the owners for improvement of the ground, but you know, this is just money that would have been put into the North Stand rebuild. And the badge was mentioned, somebody mentioned it, because obviously the FA have said you've broken the rules on that. Bit of a umming and ahhing response, and you know, I've got an idea what's happening in the background, but we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, Villa Women, a bit of a disappointing 2-2 draw against bottom of the table Bristol, who were behind twice in that game, managed to pull it back. There's a bit of umming and ahhing there about what's going to happen in terms of Clara Ward, but you just put it down to enough season and then see what happens at the end of it?
I think so.
Because currently eighth, in, you know, there's 12 teams, and they're not going to get relegated because Bristol are on 6 points, Villa are on 13, but then there's a 5-point gap to the best of the rest, which is fifth, Liverpool. Liverpool have done well because they were, they were recently promoted. But Villa really should be filling that fifth spot as they did last season.
Well, they were looking to push on, weren't they? If anything, yeah. They wanted to close the gap with the big four who were quite the way ahead last year.
Right, 3 points. Premier League TV earnings was released, so you could get a grasp of where the real influence when it comes to FFP comes into play. It helps if you're on TV, so it helps if you're doing well, and it helps if you're playing good football, and it helps if you're higher in the league because then you get picked more. Obviously, the top six feature on TV games a lot more. I mean, you just got to look at it. Manchester City 29 times, Arsenal 28, United 27. Newcastle actually got in there. This is what happens when you do well. They were on 26 times. Liverpool 28, this is last season. Aston Villa 18. So you see the drop. And how much is it per game?
I think it's like 750,000 a game.
Yeah,
because you get just, like equal shares, don't you, of certain things?
Well, you get
things.
That, but the actual games, you get bonuses for actually being shown.
Yeah, so the way it is there, Spurs were on TV 8 times more than Villa, and they earned 6.7 million more over the season. So that's it's about 750,000 they get a game.
Yeah, but it's a quick way of adding up money, really.
The thing to look at that is, I mean, Leeds were on TV more than Villa last season. They were on 19 times to Villa's 18. And poor Brighton, who had a stellar season. Everyone says Brighton were the best team to watch last season. 16 games.
Yeah. As I keep saying, you know, get in the Champions League and then that's where you really help, because then suddenly you're in the revenue pool of a load of a TV revenue, which is top tier. Point number two, Schalke, who, speaking of the Champions League, used to be pop up in the Champions League reasonably frequently, could see their club actually fall out the German professional leagues. Schalke do not have the financial capabilities to obtain a league license.
Yes, they don't have the financial capability to sort of like afford to be in the third German division. At the moment, they're in the second German division and they're heading towards relegation in it as well.
They're currently 15th in an 18-team second Bundesliga table. They've got incredible debts, haven't they? Is it like 165 million euros they're in debt or something?
Yeah, they were in a bad way before the lockdown, and then the lockdown has just compounded it, so they're even worse.
So that's great.
A big team, that.
Not great times for them. Point number three, Chris Wilder, manager of the team that got beat 5-0 by Aston Villa. Not a fan of assistant referees eating sandwiches, it appears. This was after the Palace game where he wasn't happy with the decision, so he went in to discuss it with the assistant referee, and he said, "I'm not just going to go under the radar and not say anything. I've been to see the referee and I've told him that." One of his assistants was eating a sandwich at the time, which I thought was a complete lack of respect. Hopefully he enjoyed his sandwich while he was talking to a Premier League manager.
Not for that much longer, Chris.
Yeah, not for that much longer. I bet he
enjoyed it longer than you're going to be a Premier League manager.
Yeah. And you fucking stormed into their wee room afterwards where he's eating his hard-earned, or maybe not hard-earned, sandwich.
Yeah, interrupting his sandwich eating.
Respect works both ways.
Two sides to this coin, isn't there? Right, what were we expecting from this game? There was a bit of dread, I thought. If Bailey wasn't starting, I thought, I can't watch this pedantic, plodding build-up play against Sheffield United, because it just gives them time to set up to do exactly what they did at Villa Park.
And it wasn't that at all, was it?
But then you saw the team news. Interestingly, went for the defence, which I thought would start against Newcastle, to be honest, where you put Konsa in at the right-back position, Carlos in at centre-back alongside Longley. I thought you would have probably swapped that around and had Cash and Diaby against Sheffield United. But anyway, pleasant surprise. Bailey started, Diaby on the bench. That wasn't really a surprise, because you knew he had a back problem. So the last two games, he's kind of been easing his way in. But we've seen enough to suggest he could start.
Yeah, we were expecting potentially quite a difficult one. Obviously, Sheffield United had a couple of all right performances, especially at home recently. Obviously, with the way Villa had been performing through January, you expected it to be a much more, potentially a real tricky game, this one.
Mainly because of how Villa have been playing. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if Villa were playing at their pomp, this would be, the expectation would be a reasonably comfortable evening. But they had slightly improved over the last six games or so. Villa were waning a little bit, so you thought, this could get a bit sticky. But at the same time, you need to turn this around. And as I was saying to you, Chris, before the game, you couldn't really pick a better team to play against. And away from home, so you haven't got the pressure of the home crowd, where there's an expectation that you should be beating these.
And sort of dominating as well.
Bing, bang, bosh, it was over after half an hour.
It was over after 20 minutes, wasn't it? Definitely. To be honest.
They did show some life at the start.
Does a Villa fan consider 3-0 safe, or do they consider 4-0 safe? That's the only real question, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
But Sheffield United did nearly take the lead.
I must have missed that.
You must have missed it. No, it was earlier on, because they did start to target Konsa in the early stages of the game, because they were playing a few high balls over him, and Brereton Diaz get in and won, and he shot like straight at Martinez, and for once Martinez just didn't save it perfectly. It like squirmed.
Is that the one that squirmed under his body?
Yeah.
Squirmed under and he picked up in the end. But like after that, that was barely an inconvenience, because as soon as Villa took the lead, that was one way traffic.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, it was surgically clinical for probably, what, it's about 18 minute period where we scored four goals, all of them really great goals, beautiful approach play, clinical as fuck finishing. You thought this
Douglas
was...
Douglas Luiz sort of pulling the strings in the midfield for the first one and the second one.
Yeah, I mean, the pass for the first one's a great ball. Watkins is unlucky to obviously hit the post. McGinn's in the right spot, gobbles
it
up.
The keeper saves it, though.
Yeah, it's sort of
he sort of gets a little touch on it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Puts it onto the post. Unfortunate for him that it just rolls back straight to McGinn. Although McGinn does make the run, he anticipates the situation well.
Yep. And then, and the pass for the second, I mean, that's probably going to be
thank God
assist,
it wasn't Morgan Rogers who'd have missed from there. Sorry, carry on.
And as I said, the pass from Louise for Watkins for the second goal. I mean, back to front, it's a really great move. Anyway, when the ball comes to Louise, Sheffield United weren't doing what Newcastle did brilliantly in the midweek game, was Newcastle did not let our box midfield get on the ball at all and face goal. Sheffield United, you thought, fucking hell, how much space do you want to give our midfielders?
Yeah, Louise strange.
All the time in the world, he's picked a beautiful ball with the outside of his foot to Watkins, who doesn't have to break stride, gets into the box, sticks it past the keeper in the bottom corner. And at that point, you think, right, we should be all right here. And then a few minutes later, obviously, we get another move, a really nice move. They give the midfield stupid amounts of space again. And Bailey, again, they'd had the warning shot a few minutes earlier where he stuck one wide. Show him in on his left foot. Why you show Leon Bailey in field onto his left foot is just
shit. What does Bailey do? Let me tell all opposition managers. he kind of runs down the right, then he cuts in and on his left, and then he goes for that far corner, bends it in. Does it every time.
If you've seen Aaron Robben, he does what Aaron Robben does, but just not as well yet.
Yeah.
And he cuts inside, whips it in the top corner. And at that point, you think, well, 20 minutes gone and you're 3-0 down. And actually, there's streams of Sheffield United fans going to the exits at this point.
It's game over. Game over, really. Well, I mean, we could have left as well, to be honest with you. Villa fans could have left because it's
we stuck around on the off chance we might
level
Newcastle.
Game over. Let's go back home. That's 3 points in the bag. Let's see you later.
We were hoping we'd maybe level Newcastle's eight, especially when it went to four. I thought Tielemans had had a chance off the previous set piece, hadn't he? And he sort of came to him at the back post, volleyed it into the ground. He probably should have done a little bit better with it. But then from the resulting corner, comes to him on the edge of the box, cuts past one of the defenders and just whips it in the top corner. It's a brilliant goal. It's kind of like some of the shots. Yeah, yeah.
This is a redemption story, Bud. Yeah, you're selling him short here.
The first attempt came from an Austin McPhee special corner.
It was a good one, Matt. We'd
seen before that whenever Villa were absolutely awful and useless, the two players run to take the same free kick. And we always wondered whether it was intentional or not intentional. Well, this time I'll give McPhee the benefit of the doubt. It was intentional because it got Sheffield United completely out of sorts. Whenever
Unboozled.
Two players, to take the corner, and then Tielemans free at the back post, and he hit it into the ground, loops over the keeper, and the defender sort of flicks it over with the bar with his head. He was really unlucky.
But in this part of the narrative, he was just getting his eye in, wasn't he, for a couple of minutes later?
Yeah, and you were talking about Gary Parker's exit set, and there was Tielemans' exit set into the top corner.
The rocket. And it always looks better when it bounces off the underside of the bar.
Yeah, this was the point where Chris Wilder should have thrown in the white towel and gone off to get a sandwich, to be honest. Yeah. Game over. Then it was just a matter of how many. But then you thought, well, you know how these things happen. Anybody who's 4-0 up, it normally ends 4-0 because there's a lack of intensity in the second half because the game's won. The other team doesn't want more embarrassment. So they defensively, they're a bit more focused.
Yeah, they just shut up shop, didn't they?
And the team that's 4-0 up normally takes a foot off the gas. And this is what you kind of expected. But Villa got a goal straight away. And you thought, oh, hang on a minute, because Emery was making a point of celebrating every goal and wanting more from his players.
I think it was the third. He was very animated, wasn't he, for the Bailey goal?
Yeah, so you're thinking, oh, are we really going to go for it here to put on some grandstand humiliation of these Blade bastards?
Yeah, and it's another Watkins assist. Obviously, the ball kind of comes to him on the corner of the penalty area. A lovely little clip ball to the back post, and Moreno smashes in a first-time volley. It's a lovely finish.
We did forget that Ramsey did come on for Louise. Louise, as we said, was not feeling 100% before the game.
But what a luxury to be able to do that. You know, you're 4-0 up, the game's won. You could have probably taken other players off at half-time if you'd have wanted, but to be able to give Louise 45 minutes rest is a real luxury. And then obviously they also managed to take off, was it Konza, Bailey, McGinn, Tielemans through the game as well. So you've managed to save guys a little bit of legs for the midweek cup game.
And the doubleheader, basically. United on week.
So in terms of the perfect way that a game could go, get it won in the first 47 minutes or so, and they just completely took their foot off the gas after that. You know, you want to be entertained, but at the same time, you've had such a barnstorming first half that the job's done.
Yeah, it was like Brentford when we mullered them.
In the
first 12 minutes, the second half, it's pretty much an anti-climax.
Yeah. But it's the job's done. But there was still time for Martinez to make a couple of brilliant saves, wasn't there, later on in the game?
The double. He always does them in doubles, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he does.
But they had the ball in the net when that was a bit of a taint to the evening's proceedings. Because
it's a pony bit of defending, let's be honest. It's a shit set piece.
You thought, well, this is a bit, what you wanted, a clean 5-0 or a 6-0 or whatever. You don't want any of this consolation goal bollocks. I mean, the main thing about scoring so many goals, it was like a bonus point because it gave us suddenly gave us a lift in goal difference against Spurs, who will be the main competitors, as well at the moment they are anyway, in terms of that fourth place.
Yeah, because Spurs were ahead of Villa on goals scored. I mean, the goal difference was the same, and now Villa have a nice healthy plus five on them.
So it was a very useful result in that respect. I mean, you know, you can get greedy and say you wanted more, but ultimately, you know, five will do.
And thanks to... thanks to Everton for doing us a favour, as in, obviously, in the midweek round of matches, all the results didn't go our way, so that was as important.
I'm not big on chasing every result every week.
But at least Villa looked after themselves. It was more about Villa putting in a performance.
Yeah, at this stage of the game, you've got to sort out your own business, and Villa really needed to sort out their levels of performance. And this game is certainly a step in the right direction, 100%, but you need a real seismic shift in belief, and that would be beating Manchester United at Villa Park.
Yeah, you need that sort of psychological boost where it's difficult in a game like this, isn't it? Where whether you win 1-0 or 5-0 against the bottom of the table, the expectation is that you're going to go there and win. I think the manner in which Villa did it, certainly in that first half an hour, will sort of raise a few eyebrows, but I still think going away and winning comfortably at Sheffield United, no one will necessarily go, oh, wow, Villa are the... You know, they're back to the levels they were against Manchester City. You've got to go and do it against better sides, i.e. Chelsea in the Cup and Man United in the league.
Morgan Rodgers didn't really, making his debut, didn't really have a chance to shine. I mean, in the 10 minutes he was on, 10 plus, including injury time, he only had four touches. Where was he playing? I didn't really notice him.
He tended to drift to the left, but he was basically playing across the front line, but off Watkins, basically.
Had a gilt edge chance, which we were joking about.
Slightly
at the start
behind
of the
him,
show.
Wasn't he? He tried to clip it and it went over. But I mean, I'm interested to see him. Obviously, he won't feature. Well, we hope he doesn't feature against Chelsea in midweek. Villa's track record in the last couple of weeks has not been good on this. So just a reminder to the people at Villa Park that he can't play in the cup game against Chelsea.
Yes, as the Villa women's team have shown us.
Oh, that was a disaster.
I think it'll be like cameos off the bench like this if we're winning. That's his role at the moment, I think.
Especially until he's really found a role, and that will come through, you know, training and weeks of it, to be honest, under Emery, because he's... And ultimately, you know, you're stepping into the broad stroke is a fairly successful winning side who've got, you know, guys who have been doing the job for the most part, so...
But in his favour, he's got the injuries to Zaniolo and Duran, so...
Yes.
He'll be on the bench, so he'll get minutes here and there.
And his physical profile means you probably can play him down the middle if you need to.
Yeah, Archer came on 64th minute.
Kind of gave it a go, didn't he, for a bit?
Yeah, you can see the attraction of Archer, but I think he's not a lone striker though, is he?
No, we said this the other day when we were speaking for the weekend that his play in and around the penalty area is really sharp.
Yeah,
which is as you'd want it to be, but it's his overall play. You know, the difference, for example. He isn't going to dislodge Ollie Watkins in terms of Watkins' overall play outside of the penalty area. And that's what, you know, most Premier League teams play with a lone striker. So he's going to have to really improve that. That said, he's a useful player to have about. I think it was at the end of the game, he forced a really great block actually out of Clement Longley, who had a couple of those in the game.
He's good at reading the game. I mean, you've got to give him credit. In the defensive part of his game is very good. You can see why he's made such moves to Villa and, you know, played at Barcelona. He does read the game really well, as we saw against Newcastle too, but it's basically saved two goals, essentially.
Yep.
Right, before we go on, a big shout out to the My Old Man Said members, as always, and thanks to those especially for joining us in Match Club, where we get together for the away games. Next one will be Fulham, I believe.
Not a happy hunting ground, that place, is it, in recent years?
Well, don't put people off. But thank you for your support and the new members. Special thanks to Mr. Alex Jones, Dan Wayne, DJ Souza for becoming an annual member. If you become an annual member, you get 10% off. Shane Moore as well, and David Kent. Thank you very much to all you guys. You play a big part in keeping the My Old Man Said Roadshow on the road. YouTube can become a My Old Man Said member and get access to Match Club, ad-free shows and extra shows as well. I will finally get around to doing these extra shows in the next few days, because we did a reaction to Newcastle as there was like three back-to-back-to-back shows, which kind of got in the way of doing extra ones, but there will be ones for My Old Man Said members very soon. So please do go to myoldmansaid.com, click on the membership link to get more details there. Right, key stats from this game, Mr. Shaw.
Well, They're all good stats. Ollie Watkins is the first player in Europe's top five leagues to get 10 goals plus 10 assists in their league, respectively. This season. Another good one is Aston Villa scored 3 goals in the opening 20 minutes of a Premier League game for just the third time in their history. And it was the very first time they did it away from home in the competition. That came from Opta, that one.
What about life before the Premier League?
There was no life before the Premier League. We know this.
No,
there was no Opta.
No, if you not listened to modern media, there was no life before the Premier League.
And anything else on that score?
No player has both scored or assisted in more different Premier League games this season than Ollie Watkins, with 4.
Yeah, what's it called? Goal involvements.
Yes, goal involvements.
It's funny when they interview players now and they go, you are top of the goal involvements table. And it's like, does that mean anything to players?
Well, it shows their they have an output for their team, I suppose. You know, strikers who aren't necessarily scoring every week, but they are.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that, obviously. But, you know, it's normally like, oh, you've scored. You know, it's all about scoring and assists, isn't it? Which is essentially what involvements are.
He's actually second in the league this term behind Mo Salah. So he might overtake him if Salah's still injured. So another couple of games he could be top.
No surprise who the fantasy Premier League top Villa player is.
No, it's Ollie Watkins with currently 15 points, but you'd imagine he'd get a couple more for bonus for being player of the match.
Right, Phil, while you're on the mic, time for Media Muppets. What have you got this week, Phil?
Well, it's a very quick one this week. It's all about ex-villain Andy Vyman scoring a late winner against Birmingham City for West
Brom. How old is he, Phil?
He is 33.
Most people listening are thinking where he retired years ago, didn't he?
He's 32/33. We haven't worked out exactly how old he is yet.
35?
No, that was a guess.
Haven't you heard of Google?
We Googled it. He's 32.
So why is Phil giving us this 33?
Because I haven't Googled it yet.
Me? You're not doing any research. That's why you get the big bucks.
Hold on.
He's 32. He's 33. I'm telling you he's 32.
He's 33?
He's not 33. He was born on the 5th of August, 1991.
Yeah, he's 32. Yeah.
Right, deduct him from the big bucks.
So
anyway, get to the point of this.
Yes, get to the point. So he scores a goal for West Brom to win it, the late winner for West Brom against Birmingham.
I didn't even know he was playing for West Brom before I heard this news. Anyway, carry on.
So what do you do? I mean, doesn't matter if you played for Villa or not. Playing for Villa gives it, you know, a bit of added bite, but it gives a bit to the Blues fans afterwards. I mean, this didn't stop the Daily Mail's Tom Collymore criticising him. He said it was a spectacularly stupid thing to do after last week's crowd trouble in the Wolves versus West Brom game, the FA Cup game.
Perfectly
with the Hawthorns.
Normal behaviour, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is. But there's two things here that he's left out that were different last week. Firstly, the crowd trouble last week was because the away fans celebrated in the home end. I mean, that was it. There was Wolves fans in the West Brom fans end and they celebrated when Wolves scored. That's what started the trouble. And second, I mean, I'm sure Wyman got a lovely reception from the travelling Blues fans and, you know, a polite round of applause when he came onto the pitch and everything else. So if he scores, he's perfectly entitled to give them a bit back. So people just need to stop being offended.
Yeah, if you're a new Villa fan or if you don't know who we're talking about, Andy Vyman basically came through the ranks of Villa, the Austrian, and played under Lambert as a foil to Christian Benteke, and a player who's played for Villa, and then you go on and wherever you end up, you know, unfortunately he ended up in the toilet of West Brom, but never mind, he's still got to score against the Blues, and if you're an ex-Villa player, you celebrate, and you make sure they know it as well. So Mr. Tom from the Daily Mail, you don't know what you're talking about, Sam. Right, on that note, looking forward to the Cup game or the game against United? More.
Both,
which one?
To be honest, for different reasons. Man U feels like a big one. The first of the kind of, you'd say, real big games of the season. One that's starting to
mean
something.
I'm looking forward to United 100%.
Yeah.
Chelsea, whatever, to be honest.
I'm looking forward to Chelsea as well.
United is the one, the crunch. After it ruined my, not ruined my Christmas, but that would have been a good Christmas if we'd beaten United.
Yep.
That kind of put a little bit of a stink on it. So I want them buried. Chelsea, whatever. United, 3 points. On that note, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sorry, did I piss on your Chelsea parade?
You bastard.
I'll be there, by the way. I'll be there. closer to Emery than you ever could imagine.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.